بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله.
أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا بني اذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله، إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. In our path or our journey towards purifying the self, such that it can ascend in the path of spirituality to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is ultimately what we want in dunya and in akhirah. People who don't believe in Allah are limited to the materialistic world. And hence, whenever they experience a difficulty from which they feel that there is no hope, you find them resorting to things that they think will make them forget about their difficulty. So you find them, for example, resorting to drugs or alcohol, or sometimes even taking their own lives away because they just feel this is the end of it. They don't try to face the difficulty, the challenge, where in fact those individuals, now of course this is in general, huh? I mean, not everybody, you have some exceptions, but in general, whereas those individuals who have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives, then they know that they have someone that they can resort to. And hence, when they fall into difficulties, into problems, they try to resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them through their problems. The human being who's a mu'min, the mu'mineen, they try to ascend in the path of Allah to seek His pleasure. Here in this ayah, which is in Surah Yusuf, Ya'qub alayhi salam, as we mentioned back in Ramadan, went through a lot of difficulties. His most beloved son was taken away from him. And then his other son, Binyamin, was also taken away from him. So he went through a lot of difficulties. Now, the human being, as he's trying to work towards purifying himself, sometimes he is tested, he's tried. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see what degree of purification is this person has achieved. And that's why the ahadith says that the more the person becomes a mu'min, the closer he becomes to Allah, then the more difficult his test and his examination will be. That's why the most difficult exams were gone or tried upon the prophets, alayhim as-salam, and then the imams or the awsiya of the prophets, the successors of the prophets, and then the mu'mineen, and so on and so forth. You find What is the degree of one's iman and taqwa in Allah? Then the difficulty increases more and more. Sometimes shaitan comes to the person during these balas, during these difficulties, and tries to contaminate the heart, tries to contaminate this purification process. You know, sometimes you work so hard on building a building, he tries to come and shatter this building so that you have to restart construction all over again. One of the ways he comes is he uses these difficulties or these tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicts upon the human being to test them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ in Surah Al-Ankabut, أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will be left saying that we believe in Allah without them being tested? If it's just by tongue, then it's easy. Every person says, I believe in Allah, I believe in Allah. Very simple. At the time of action is when it's shown. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, An-nasu abidu dunya. When he was in Mecca, again when he gave his sermon to the people, he said, people are the slaves of dunya. وَالدِّينُ لَعِقٌ عَلَىٰ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. And religion is only found on their tongues. Because saying is easy. It's the action that's difficult. He says, فَإِذَا مُحِصُوا بِالْبَلَىٰ. When they are tried and tested to find out which one of them is genuine and which is not genuine, he says, قَلَّ الدَّيَّانُونَ. You'll find very few people who will surface. Who will surface. Most people will sink down. Why? This is all of the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to test people to see who will be the top and who will be the bottom. But the human being has to have this faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the level that his iman doesn't shake when Iblis comes or when the shaitan comes to contaminate his heart, to make him doubt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Ya'qub alayhi salam went through a lot of difficulties. Losing his son was a great difficulty. But then he told his sons, he said, Ya bani yadhhabu, O my sons, go, فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ. Tahassus, what is tahassus? Tahassus, we have two words, and they differ by one dot. Tajassus with jim and tahassus with ha. The difference is one dot. Tajassus is to spy on somebody, to look after somebody's life with bad intention, with ill intention, to use his life or some factors of his life against him or her, wal'iyadu billah. Tahassus is the opposite. It's to look after somebody with good intention. For example, someone doesn't come to the masjid, somebody who regularly comes to mosque, every Friday comes for Jumu'ah. One Friday, two Fridays, he doesn't show up. Then you pick up the phone, you say, what is the matter? Everything is okay? You know, they say if a mu'min doesn't come for Jum'ah three Fridays, then you have to ask about him. Three Fridays. If he disappears, or she disappears, ask about him. That's why it's mustahab to come to Fridays, you know, to Friday Salat. It's mustahab for people to always constantly be in touch. That's why it is makruh to stay single, to stay alone. Without anybody. We had a case in Vancouver, not too long ago. We had a case where a person died. People did not know about him for a week. One whole week they didn't know about him. Because he was keeping to himself. You know, accidentally when the neighbors started smelling something, the next door neighbors, then they come and discovered him. And this is makruh. So a person is always recommended to stay in touch, to keep in touch with the mu'mineen. See, subhanAllah, coming to the majalis, not just you gain you barakah, doesn't only gain you thawab, but it has also social effects on the human being. This is one of the good effects, that a person, when he is missed in the majalis for one day, 2 days, 1 week, they don't see him, then people start inquiring. This guy is a regular, how come he didn't show up? And this is a duty upon the mu'mineen. So this is tahassus. This is a good thing. Tajassus is forbidden in Islam. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, Allah says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Hujurat, do not spy on people. But do tahassus. That's good. So Yusuf here is saying, تَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ. Go and find, investigate what is happening from Yusuf and his brother. And then he tells them something that's very important. Something that applies to us. He says, وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. And don't go in despair from رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. What is رَوْحِ اللَّهِ? رَوْح, in the Arabic language, is sometimes when a person is about to suffocate, you know, suffocate. And all of the sudden, the breath comes. That breath, just he's about to suffocate and lose his breath and die, all of the sudden, the breath comes to him. This is rawh. You know, the good analogy some people gave or give is that sometimes if you go to some bathroom and the smell is about to kill you, you know, there in the bathroom. And you stay there and you're about to faint and die, and then you open the door. And then the fresh air hits you. That fresh air that hits you just when you're about to faint and die, this is called rawh. Ya'qub here, alayhi salam, is telling his sons, don't go in despair from Allah's rawh. When you're at a situation or at a state when you think that all the gates are closed and there is no more hope, Ya'qub is telling his sons, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of taking you out. At that state, when you think you're about to faint, you're about to die, you're about to suffocate, the problems are just piling and piling and piling. And then that's when shaitan comes to the person, to the mu'min. And yes, despair. According to some ulama, they say when a person gives up hope from the dua, he says, Allah doesn't accept my dua anymore. Wal'iyadu billah. This is yes. Sometimes Allah wants a person to pray for 10 years. Sometimes Allah takes one's health. Wal'iyadu billah. One's health deteriorates. I heard of a case of a mu'min in one of the Arabic countries. He said, I became ill for absolutely no reason. He said, I don't even know what was the reason. All of the sudden, my health started to deteriorate. He said, I went to the doctor. The doctor says, there is nothing wrong with you. He examined me. He said, there is nothing wrong in you. He said, but doctor, I'm feeling ill. He says, there's nothing wrong with you. He said, I became so ill I couldn't go to work. 1 week, 2 weeks. He said, they told me, why are you not showing up? I told them I'm ill. He said, well, bring a doctor's note. So the doctor says, I'm fine. So they fired me. They told me, you're fired. And he says, my things started to deteriorate. Not only why I was cut from health now, even my salary, my wealth is also starting to deteriorate. And he said, day after day, I was getting worse. Doctors don't know what's wrong with me. Nobody knows what's wrong. 15 years, he said. 15 years. I was suffering. Only my family was standing with me. My wife and my children. That's it. He said, after 15 years of dua and prayers, then my health started to come back. I started feeling better. After 15 years, I became better. Then I went back to my job. I told them, now I'm back. I'm better now. He said, they hired me again. They hired me. And he said, I went to the doctor. He still says, there's nothing wrong with you. He tested me. He said, there's nothing. Before, when you said you were sick, the tests are all the same. When you say now you're healthy, we can't see a difference. He said, I don't know what happened to me and what really cured me. I have no idea. 15 years. Subhanallah. Maybe Allah wanted to test this man and wanted him to pray for 15 years. This was his test, to pray for 15 years. If he had prayed for 14 years, it was not enough. Why? This is the hikmah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has wisdom in everything. So here, Ya'qub is saying, do not give up hope. Don't go in despair from Allah's mercy. Don't give up hope from the dua of Allah. Don't give up hope from praying to Allah. Allah will respond. Allah sometimes takes the health away. Sometimes takes your wealth away. Sometimes He, like you saw here, you know, a flood comes and ruins millions of lives. And Allah wants to test those who are wealthy to see what do they do with these poor people. And He tests those poor people to see what do they respond or how do they respond to Allah. Some people who were in Iraq during the time of that oppressor, they came to the extent where they said, we've been praying now for 20 years, 30 years, and no response. No response. This, wal'iyadu billah, is yes from Rawhillah. But then the response came. The faraj came. The hope came. He's gone. Khalas. And people at least went back to the ziyarah and the dua and everything the way they used to before. So sometimes Allah tests a human being. The tests are difficult. But a person should not give up hope from the dua. It is said there was a man. He was wealthy, businessman, wealthy man. He went to Hajj. Around his waist, he tied a belt in which he had about 3,000 dinars worth of cash and jewelry around his waist. So he went to Hajj. On his way to Hajj, he went down on a place to go to the bathroom. The belt fell from him. He did not notice. He did not notice the belt fell down. So he finished. He continued his journey. After a while, he realized that his belt is gone. He came back. He couldn't find it. The belt was gone. He said, you know what? No big deal. I'm going to Hajj. And I'm sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of me. And my money. What is 3,000? No problem. He said, we went to Hajj and he did not even care about the money. Came back. He came back. Business started going bad. This wealthy businessman started to lose money until he became so poor. To the extent that he could not stay in his city anymore. He left to another city with his wife. He says, one night, my wife was pregnant and I went to a hotel that was this very cheap hotel, very cheap. Something, you know, that's like very junk. A junkyard almost. We stayed there. I kept her there. And then she gave birth. She delivered. She told me, you know, I'm dying. We have not had food. We don't have food. And here's your son now. We need food. Can you find us food? He said it was in the middle of the night. It was raining. All the money I had was 1.5 silver coin. 1.5 silver coin. That's all the money I had. He said it was raining in the middle of the night. I ran outside. I found a grocery store. You know, a person who had a grocery. Baqal. He said, I knocked at his door. In the middle of the night, he opened the door. He said, what brings you here at night? I told him, please, try to help me out. I explained to him my situation, my wife and everything. He said, okay. He took the 1.5 silver coin and he gave me some food and some oil and some things. He said, he put them in a jar. In a glass jar. Glass container, so I can carry it. So I took it. I headed back to the hotel. On my way, I slipped. I fell and the jar broke. Said I started sitting down in the middle of the road and weeping. One man took out his head from his house. You know, in the middle of the night, this guy is shouting and weeping. He took out his head. He said, man, don't you realize what time it is? You want to cry? Go cry somewhere else. You're crying at my door? He said to him, why are you treating me like this. He said, well, what time is this right now? Look at it. It's so late at night and you're weeping by my door. What are you weeping for? He said, so I told him, you know, I had a 1.5 silver coin and I went and bought. He said, you're crying for 1.5 silver coins? You're weeping like this for 1.5 silver coins? He said, then I became angry. And I told him, it is not the 1.5 silver coins. He said, I started swearing to him by Allah that on the year so-and-so, I went to Hajj. And I had a belt which had 3,000 dinars worth of cash and jewelry. I lost it and I didn't even worry a bit about it. Not even a bit. But now, because my wife and my child are dying from hunger, that's why I'm weeping for this 1.5 silver coin. He said, this man told me, describe your belt for me. He said, what are you talking about now? You know, now I'm telling you about my wife and child dying and you're telling me describe my belt that I lost in Hajj so many years ago. He said, this man came down from his house. He grabbed me like this. He said, tell me about your belt. He said, I told him it looked like this and this. He said, come home. He brought me to his house. He said, where is your wife and your child? I told him in so-and-so place. He sent his servants. He said, go grab his wife. So he grabbed my wife and they brought her to the house. They gave her all the food. They treated her well. Then he told me, go have a shower. He brought me a new abaya, a new imama, a new turban, new clothes. He put them on me. And he said, stay as my guest for 10 days. He said, okay. So I stayed as his guest for 10 days, treating me very well. Then he told me, how about I give you 10 dinars? Every day of these 10 days, he was giving him 10 dinars. 10 dinars every day. At the end of the 10 days, he told him, what did you do before? What was your job? He said, I was a businessman. But then things went bad. He said, okay, how about this? I have some things that I can give you to do business with. And I'll loan you 200 dinars. You take these 200 dinars, you start doing the business, and then whatever profit you bring, 50-50. He said, okay. He said, I took the money he gave me and some of those things that he gave me. I sold them and alhamdulillah, did well. So I came back after a few months and I told him, this is your share of the profit. He told me, have a seat. I sat down. He took out a belt. He said, is this the belt that you lost in Hajj? He said, when I saw it, I fainted. I woke up. I said, are you a prophet? He said, no. He said, but I'm a person who went to Hajj that same year. And I also went to the bathroom. I saw this belt. And then I kept it. I said, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to keep this for a reason. So I kept it. And here goes the time you came to my house weeping. And you told me about this belt, I remembered. And he said, I didn't want to give it to you at the time because I was afraid you're going to die if you see it. So I thought I'll take it on you slowly. So the money I have been giving you is from your own belt. This is from your belt. This is your money. The only thing I gave you was the 200 dinars. So you can return this to me. All the profit, everything is yours. You keep it. He says, I took the belt, I sold the jewelry that was in there. And he says, within 2 years, I had 10,000 dinars. Things went back to normal. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests a human being. But the human should not say, Ya Allah, I've been praying for so long. Where is the dua? You, Ya Allah, promised that you will accept our dua. How come I have been praying so long and you have not been answering? This is now the shaitan trying to whisper to the human being. Ayyub for 17 or 18 years, Ayyub alayhi salam, 17 or 18 years he was tested. He was a prince. He was the son-in-law of Yusuf alayhi salam. Ayyub was the son-in-law of Yusuf alayhi salam. So he was also among the princes, among the kings of Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took all his money away in one day. Everything was destroyed. All his children, 7 of them, died in one day. His health deteriorated to the extent that he had a skin disease. When people looked at him, they used to get disgusted, so people deserted him. His wife, the daughter of Yusuf, the king, became a maid, serving in people's homes to earn some money. After 17 years, she came back to Ayyub and she said, "Ya Ayyub." One day, that day, the people she was serving, they harassed her. They hurt her a little bit with a few words. So she came back and said, "Ya Ayyub, don't you see our situation? We were where were we before and where are we now? You are a prophet of Allah. Why don't you pray to Allah to alleviate this difficulty from us?" قَالَ أَسْتَحِي مِنَ اللَّهِ He said, "I am embarrassed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate me from this difficulty. For so many years Allah blessed me with health, with wealth, with children. Now for 17 years He's testing me. Now I shall complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, I won't complain to Allah." Until it is said that Iblis came to him. Subhanallah, Iblis, even with the prophets, he tries. He came to him and he said, "Ayyub, what sin did you commit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicted this adab on you, this punishment on you? What sin?" Now the prophets don't commit sins, of course. They never commit sins. But sometimes the prophets, when they act without the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, if they do something of their own choice. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to say, "Ilahi, la takilni ila nafsi tarfata aynin abada." He said, "Oh my Lord, don't allow me to make my own decision, not even a second. Always guide me, always support me, always illuminate my path for me, Ya Allah." His wife, Umm Salama, was with him. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, you are weeping and crying to Allah to make this dua?" He said, "Yes, Ya Umm Salama, Yunus, my brother Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let him make a decision on his own. This decision then made him go into the whale's stomach." That one decision. Although he did not commit a sin. Yunus did not commit a sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Yunus to make the decision without the guidance of Allah. So he did not make the sin. Then he said, "Subhanaka la ilaha illa ant. Inni kuntu minal zalimeen." That's why it's mustahab to recite this ayah if you are feeling difficulty or you're experiencing difficulty. Subhanaka la ilaha illa ant. So, Ayyub was told, "What sin did you commit?" Then he cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, "My Lord, Shaytan has hurt me because he has told me maybe I have committed a sin, and if I have indeed committed a sin, then forgive me for that sin, Ya Allah." He did not even ask Allah to alleviate the difficulty. He asked him to forgive his sin. If he had committed a sin. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ Then it is said, Allah told Jibreel, "Go down to Ayyub." And Jibreel told him, "You hit your feet with the water." He took a shower in that water. His youth came back. The youth of his wife came back. His children came back. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ." What a great servant he was, or he is. إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا We found him patient. He never gave up hope. He made dua and made dua and made dua 17 years after losing everything. Now us, how many years would have we stood or withstand if we were like Ayyub? If we were kings or if we were playing with money, And then we lose everything. And then we lose our health and we lose our children. How long would a person can last keeping praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is what Ya'qub alayhi salam is telling his children. He's telling them, do not give up hope. لا تيأسوا ولا تيأسوا من روح الله. Do not give up hope from the help of Allah at the time when you think there is no help. In that last moment, after you've lost your 1.5 silver coin and the food is gone and you're thinking that's it, خلاص. It's raining in the middle of the night and your wife and child are dying from hunger, Allah will send you the rescue. At that moment, Allah will send you the rescue. It is said in the Hadith al-Qudsi, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person believes in Allah, so this is yes min rawhillah. Yes min rawhillah means to give up hope from the dua of Allah. Some people don't give up hope from the dua of Allah, but they say, Allah will never forgive me. There is no point. Allah will never, this is wal'iyadu billah, qunut min Allah. Qunut. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْنَطُوا. Do not give up hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in Surah Yusuf, Yusuf is, Ya'qub is telling his children, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Only the non-believers, they are the ones who don't or go in despair from Allah's dua. Then there are those who say, no, Allah will never forgive me. They have su'ud-dhan wal-iyadu billah. Su'ud-dhan billah. That Allah will not respond to me. Allah will not call me. Allah does not love me. Wal-iyadu billah. The Hadith al-Qudsi says, if a believer of mine falls in a valley that is full of snakes and scorpions, and there is no way out, but he resorts to me, I will save him. I will save him. It is said there was, at the time of the Prophet, there was a lady who had 10 sons. 9 of them got killed with Rasulullah in the battles. The 10th son, the last one, he was less religious, not as religious. So one day he became ill. And his mother started crying. He said, mother, why are you crying? She said, well, I see you so ill, and I'm afraid you're going to die, and you're not so religious. I'm afraid you're going to go to the hellfire and burn in the hellfire. That's why I'm worried about you. That's why I'm crying. He said, mother, would you take me and put me in the hellfire, in the fire? Would you take me and put me in a fire right now and burn me? She said, son, never. I love you so much. How can I take you and put you in a fire? He said, mother, then why do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would put me in a fire? And then he died. It is said that the hadith says, Allah forgave him. لِحُسْنِ ظَنِّهِ بِاللَّهِ. Because of his dhan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his belief in Allah, in his hope in Allah. Allah forgave him. So, my brothers and sisters, in our journey towards self-purification, our belief in Allah is very important. Our belief in Allah is very important. Yes, Allah wants to test this belief of yours. He wants to see how much of a believer are we. So He then makes us go through difficulties. You'll find a person who is a mu'min losing a loved one, or losing his health, or losing his money, or losing some other things. Allah will test with different tests. He'll make you go through one test, and then you'll pass it, maybe financial. Then He'll make you go through another test, which is maybe, God forbid, loss of a loved one. Then He'll see you still doing well. Your faith is not shaken. Then He'll make you go through a more difficult test. And so on and so forth. Life in dunya is all about examination. examination. That's why the hadith of the Prophet, he tells Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, "Ad-dunya sijnu al-mu'min." Dunya is the prison of the mu'min. For the mu'mineen, it's a prison. No matter how much they do, they're still prison. وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ Kafir, for kafir, dunya is paradise. He does anything he wants. Anything he wants. The hadith says, if dunya was worth anything before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it really meant anything to Allah, He would not have given the non-believers even, you know, the size of a fly's wing of good. Or good, anything that's good. The fly wing, you see the size of the fly wing? That much He would not have given to the non-believers. But it's worth nothing before Allah. It is only a place where we farm our akhirah. That's it. This is dunya mazra'atul akhirah. That is it. And hence the mu'mineen, the muttaqeen, they stay in this dunya to farm their akhirah. And they never give up their hope from Allah. That's why the belief in Allah is very important. And that's why the belief in Asma'ullah al-Husna is very important. The belief in the Tawheed of Allah is very important. Understanding Tawheed of Allah is important. And that's where we find the great personalities like Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, salamullahi alayhi. In his ziyarah, we say, or the Imam is saying, because this ziyarah is taught to us by Imam, alayhi salam. He says, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ مَضَيْتَ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ مِّنْ أَمْرِكَ I bear witness that you went with full understanding of what you were doing. بَصِيرَةٍ مِّنْ أَمْرِكَ In other words, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas did not only go there because he was with his brother, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. No, he went there because this is the call of his Imam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We say in the ziyarah, As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-abdu al-salih, al-muti' lillahi wa li rasulih, wa li amir al-mu'minin wa li akhik. Peace be upon you, our abdu al-salih. Al-abdu al-salih. And this is Imam is saying to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. So Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, salamullahi alayh, his personality was so great, and his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so great, that it was never shaken. With all the difficulties, with all the tragedies, with all the tribulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with, his faith grew stronger and stronger. With all those tribulations, subhanallah. This man was a great man. That's why the hadith of Imam al-Sajjad, he says, إِنَّ لِعَمِّيَ الْعَبَّاسِ دَرَجَ My uncle al-Abbas has a status on the day of judgment. يَغْبِطُهُ بِهَا كُلُّ الشِّهَدَى He says, all the martyrs would want to have his status on the day of judgment. All the martyrs. Now this is something that is magnificent, this hadith, subhanallah, because some of the prophets were martyrs. Some of the prophets got martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what this hadith says is that even those prophets who were martyred would wish to have that status of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, salamullahi alayhi. Subhanallah. That's not something simple. And hence, you find this, some people ask, how could it be? Like, you know, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas better than the prophets. Well, Imam Hussein, salamullah alayhi, says, there are no companions better than my companions. No companions are better than my companions. What about when you have a person who deprives himself from the water? For his master. On the day of Ashura, Shimr came and he called, Where are our cousins Ali al-Akbar and al-Abbas? Al-Abbas didn't want to respond to him. Imam Hussein told him, go respond to him, see what he has to say. So Al-Akbar alayhi salam and Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, they went. They said, yes, what do you want? He said, you guys are our cousins from the mother's side. There was some blood relationship. He said, so we don't want to kill you. We don't want to kill you people. Why don't you come with us? And we'll make sure that you are happy, we'll please you. We'll give you everything you want. Abbas looked at him and said, فَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. Is this what you called us for? May you have died and your mother have wept over you. Is this what you called me here for? You want me to leave Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Jannah and come with you? He turned his back and turned back. This is a test, huh? This is a test. This is a test. He knows this is the time when it's difficulty. Now he's offered dunya. He was given dunya. But he turned it back. How many of us would have survived that test? A test where you have to give up your own life for the sake of your imam. You know, even an ant, have you seen sometimes an ant when it feels the risk, it starts running. So even an ant has the desire of staying alive. Even the ant has that desire. So not only us humans. So imagine us, you know, every human being has that desire. How many of us are willing to sacrifice that desire for the sake of the imam, alayhi salam? So, he came back. And so, Ali Akbar also came back. He said, forget about this. And he remained with Imam Hussein, salamullahi alayhi, carrying the banner of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. Imam Hussein gave him the banner on the day of Ashura. He said, you carry my banner. When all the companions died, when all the family members died, then Abbas alayhi salam turned to his brothers from his mother, the three brothers he had. He said to them, go fight and make me proud of you, all three of you. So they went, they fought bravely, and then they got killed. At that point, he came back to his brother Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. قال أخي أبي عبد الله لقد ضاق صدري إذن لي في الخروج. He said, oh brother, ya Aba Abdullah, oh my master. He never called him أخي, he always called my master, Sayyidi. He said, ya Sayyidi, ya Aba Abdullah. He never called Imam Hussein my brother. He always called him master. From his childhood. From his childhood. He said, oh master, give me the permission to go and fight before you. Allahu Akbar. From his childhood, his mother was teaching him, this man is your master, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is your master. And on the day that comes when he needs your help, I want you to make me proud. From the first day. Even when he was born, they brought him to Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayh. It is said he was wrapped in a cloth. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayh, unwrapped the cloth. And he looked at his little hands. And he kissed his little hands and started crying. Umm al-Baneen salamullahi alayha looked at Amir al-Mu'mineen. She said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, is there something wrong with the hands of my son? He said, no ya Umm al-Baneen, there is nothing wrong with his hands. But these hands will be cut off one day serving his own brother Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. So when he came to his brother, telling him, ya, O my master, سيدي يا أبا عبد الله إذن لي في الخروج فلقد ضاق صدري. Oh my master, يا أبا عبد الله, give me the permission to go and fight. My patience has run out. He said, oh brother Abbas, But you are the carer of my family. You're the one taking care of Zainab and Sukaina and Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum. You're the one who's taking care of my children. You are my support. You are my helper. You are the carer of my banner, Ya Aba al-Fadl. If you die, then my banner will fall on the plains of Karbala. My children will become prisoners for Bani Umayya. And then who will be there for Zainab? He said, but brother, oh my master, Ya Aba Abdullah, I cannot leave you in this state without defending you. He said, if that is the case, Ya Aba al-Fadl, go and get some water for the children of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. For it's been some time without them having any water. And he heard the camp and the children crying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. The thirst is hurting us, the thirst is bothering us. So then he took the bag of water and he said, I will go get the water for the children of Hussein. Then he went to the water, calling very bravely, Inni ana al-Abbas. I am Abbas, the one who does not fear death. It is said Umar ibn Sa'd had 4,000 men guarding the water to prevent the people of Imam Hussein from reaching the water. When they saw Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas coming at them like a lion, they all got scared and he managed to disperse them. He made his way to the water. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, the heart of my uncle al-Abbas was boiling like a charcoal. When he arrived at the water, he dipped his hand into the water. He raised the water to drink from it. Then he remembered the thirst of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. He then let go of the water, talking to himself, قال يا نفس من بعد الحسين هوني فبعده لا كنت أن تكوني هذا حسين وارد المنون وتشربين بارد المعين والله ما هذا فعال ديني ولا فعال صادق اليقين. He said, oh my soul, oh my nafs, how can you drink the water when your master Imam Hussein is still thirsty? By God, this is not the teaching of my religion. Then he filled up the bag of water and he rode his horse, and all his care and intention was to get the water to the camp of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, to get to the water to Sukaina. Umar ibn Sa'd cried and shouted, stop him, if the water reaches the camp of Hussein, then we'll never be able to beat him. So the enemies gathered around him and he started fighting them so bravely they could not even get closer to him, until one of the enemies hid behind a tree. When Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas crossed him, he hit him on his right hand and he cut it off. Then Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas took the bag of water and the banner and the sword in his left hand and said, والله انقطعتم يميني إني أحامي أبدا عن ديني وعن إمام صادق اليقين.
سبط النبي المصطفى الأمين. He said, by God, if you cut off my right hand, I shall continue serving my master Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, the grandson of Rasulullah. And he continued fighting. All his care was to get the water to the camp of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Then another enemy hid behind another tree and hit him on his left hand. He cut off his left hand. He took the banner. He didn't let go of the banner. Even then, he took the banner to his chest along with the bag of the water. And he started reciting, Ya nafsu la takhshay min al-kuffari wa abshiri bi rahmati al-jabbari qata'u bi baghyihim yasari faslihim ya rabbi harra an-nar. He said, O my nafs, be pleased with the reward of Allah and don't be worried about the enemies of Allah. They cut off my left hand. O Allah, punish them with the hellfire. Then he kicked his horse. He did not feel the pain. He ran towards the camp of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein until when he felt the pain. When was it? When did he feel the pain? He felt the pain when he saw the arrow pierce the back of the water. When he saw the water running down, that's when he felt the pain. It is said that's when he stood there. He didn't know where to go, what to do. At that moment, another enemy of Allah shot him with an arrow that came into his eye. And another enemy hit him with an iron pillar on his head. He fell down on the grounds of Karbala. For the first time, he cried, Akhi Hussein, Adrik Akhayak. Oh brother, Ya Aba Abdullah, come to the rescue of your brother. Imam Hussein rushed to him. And mu'mineen and mu'minat, usually when a person falls, he stops his fall with his hands. But Abul Fadl al-Abbas had no hands. So he fell right on his face, on the ground, on the plains of Karbala. Imam Hussein alayhi salam rushed to him. He saw him without a right hand, with no left hand, with an arrow in his eyes. He cried, Aywa Abbasa, Aywa Akha, Akhi الآن انكسر ظهري وقلت حيلتي وشمت بي عدوي. He said, Oh brother Abbas, now my back is broken. Oh brother Abbas, now my army has dispersed. Oh brother Abbas, now I feel all alone. Oh brother Abbas, I see my banner on the plains of Karbala. He came closer to him. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, when he heard the footsteps of Abi Abdullah, he thought this was one of the enemies coming to sever his head. He said, Oh man, wait for a few moments. Let my brother Hussein come to me. قال أخي أنا أخوك. He said, Oh brother, I am your brother Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. He sat down, he put the head of Abu Fadl al-Abbas on his lap. Then Abu al-Fadl raised his head and put it on the sand. A second time he took his head and put it on his lap. And Abu al-Fadl would put it on the sand. On the third time he said, Ya Abu al-Fadl, why do you lift your head and put it on the sand? He said, My brother, out of loyalty to you, now you are taking care of my head, but in 1 hour, who will put your head? Will it be Shimr or Umar ibn Sa'd? Who's going to be taking care of you? And at that moment, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as he was carrying Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, he told him, Ya Abu Abdullah, don't carry me to the tent. Leave me here next to the river. He said, Why, Ya Abu al-Fadl? All the family and Bani Hashim are carried to the tent. He said, I don't want Sukaina to see me. I promised her that I'll bring the water. But I have no left hand, no right hand, and I have an arrow in my eyes. I don't want her to see me in this state. And at that moment, his soul departed his body. And Imam al-Hussein cried, Aywa akha! Aywa Abbasa! يقول له يا اخويا منين جت لك المنية يا اخويا الساوق عبيتي علي Then he went back to the tent, walking slowly. When Zainab alayhi salam saw Abi Abdullah, she said, Akhi, where is my brother Abbas? He said, Ya Zainab, I just left him on the river of Furat with no left hand, with no right hand, with an arrow in his eye. She cried, Aywa Khaya, Aywa Abbasa, wa dhi'atahu ba'dak. فصاح الحسين أي والله وضيعته بعدك يا أبا الفضل She said Oh brother أبي عبد الله Who will take care of me after أبي الفضل He said يا زينب Now the man who is taking care of you has gone عباس is gone يا زينب يقول يا زينب راح عباس راح عباس راح الضيغم اللي يرفع الرايس Then all the children came after Abi Abdullah and they said, Oh, father, where is our uncle? Aina anta ya Aba al-Fayyad? Inna lillah.
إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين المؤمنين المؤمنات Raise your hands for the dua Tonight is the night of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas is known as Babu al-Hawaij, Qadi al-Hajat. If you have a haja, it will be fulfilled. This man who gave up everything he has for the sake of his brother Abi Abdullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored him as well, in dunya and in the akhirah. So raise your hands. We have many mu'mineen who requested our dua. We all have hajat. If we pray with whole heart by the barakah of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, then our dua is accepted tonight, inshaAllah. So everybody, brothers, sisters, children, everyone, all together. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma yujibul مضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء أما يجيب
يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم 10 times يا الله 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 يا إلهي بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اكشف عنا السوء يا الله اغفر ذنوبنا يا الله كفر عنا سيئاتنا يا الله وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا الله. اللهم we ask you by أبا الفضل العباس. Oh Allah, fulfill our حاجات and needs يا الله. Oh Allah, we ask you by أبا الفضل العباس. Cure all those مؤمنين who are ill يا الله. Oh Allah, we ask you by أبا الفضل العباس. All mu'mineen and mu'minat who are suffering worldwide, Ya Allah, remove their sufferings, Ya Allah. O Allah, بأبي الفضل العباس اغفر لي ولوالدي وارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اجزيما بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسيئات غفرانا. إلهي بأبي الفضل العباس اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعايا. إلهي بأبي الفضل العباس اقض حوائج المؤمنين يا الله شافي وعافي جميع المرضى يا الله اقض دين كل مدين رد كل غريب اصلح كل فاسد من امور المسلمين. اللهم بأبي الفضل العباس انصر الاسلام والمسلمين آمن المؤمنين في أوطانهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من شيعته وأنصاره وأعوانه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وقائدا ونا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل أنظارنا بنظرة منا إليه. اللهم ارزقنا زيارة أبي الفضل العباس والحسين في كربلاء يا الله وارزقنا شفاعة محمد وآل محمد يا الله. اللهم نقسم عليك بالزهراء فاطمة بضلع الزهراء بدم الزهراء بمحسن الزهراء إلا ما رزقتنا شفاعة الزهراء يا الله يا الله يا الله لقضاء الحوائج ولشفاء المرضى
وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما أرواح أموات الجالسين والحاضرين والمؤمنين. رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.